Please look at Isaiah chapter 54. Look what the Bible says here. I'm sorry, Isaiah chapter 55, verse number 1. Isaiah 55 and verse number 1. With the songs we've been singing and worshiping God, and with the Lord's Supper this morning, I just want to read these verses to you. Isaiah 55, verse 1 says, "Ho, everyone that thirsteth, come ye to the waters, and he that hath no money, come ye, buy and eat, yea, come, buy wine and milk without money and without price. Wherefore do ye spend money for that which is not bread, and your labor for that which satisfieth not? Hearken diligently unto me, and eat ye that which is good, and let your soul delight itself in fatness. Incline your ear, and come unto me, hear, and your soul shall live, and I will make an everlasting covenant with you, even the sure mercies of David." Flip over, look at verse number 6. "So seek ye the Lord while he may be found, call upon him while he's near. Let the wicked forsake his way and the unrighteous man his thoughts, and let him return unto the Lord. You have mercy on him, to our God, for he will abundantly pardon." Before we go on into the message this morning, I just want to ask this again. Are you satisfied this morning? Are you satisfied? I'm talking about satisfied within your soul, within your heart, or are you looking for something to satisfy? Something that will meet the needs? You must tell Jesus. Jesus satisfies. Are you spending your money for that which is not? Are you spending your money on that which does not satisfy? Jesus says through his word, "Come unto me and I'll feed you. If you're thirsty, come unto me and I'll give you the waters of life." Come to Jesus Christ and he'll satisfy you. Take your Bible, look at 2 Chronicles chapter number 28 this morning. We've been going through the kings of Judah and how they lost power with God. 2 Chronicles chapter 28, verse 1. We've slowly progressed through the kings, and here we find ourselves in a bad spot here in 2 Chronicles chapter 28. Ahaz the king, we're going to be reading about him in verse number 1. Ahaz the king had a grandfather named Uzziah, and he tried to serve God in a wrong way and ended up getting leprosy. And then his daddy Jotham did right in the eyes of the Lord, but he didn't enter into the temple of the Lord. But now we find his son Ahaz, 2 Chronicles chapter 28, verse number 1. The Bible says, "Ahaz was 20 years old when he began to reign. He reigned 16 years in Jerusalem. But he did not that which was right in the sight of the Lord like David his father. For he walked in the ways of the kings of Israel. And he made also molten images for Baalim. Moreover, he burnt incense in the valley of the son of Hinnom, and burnt his children in the fire after the abominations of the heathen, whom the Lord had cast out before the children of Israel. He sacrificed also and burnt incense in the high hills and on the hills and under every green tree. Wherefore the Lord his God delivered him into the hand of the king of Syria, and they smote him and carried away a great multitude of them captives and brought them to Damascus. He was also delivered into the hand of the king of Israel, who smote him with a great slaughter." Let's pray. Lord, thank you again for this day, dear God. Thank you for your mercy, grace, and goodness. Please lead God and direct now, Father. Give what's needed. Open our ears, hearts, and eyes and understanding, Lord, what's contained in this precious book. Lord, we'll give you the glory and honor, and we ask it in the blessed name of Jesus Christ. Amen. You may be seated. Looking here at King Ahaz. King Ahaz takes a turn for the worse. His daddy and his grandfather and those that went before him have not done as wickedly as Ahaz is going to do. But like I said before, brethren, you can expect that if you continue on in sin, or if you continue on in wickedness, or if you continue on rejecting God, ultimately it leads to destruction. Ultimately it leads to captivity. Ultimately it leads to losses and hurt and pain when you turn your back on God and the things that God reveals to you. Brethren, I've said this before and I'll continue to say it, Lord willing, to the day that I die, that you cannot reject light, you cannot reject truth, and expect to continue on going in a good way. Okay? Ahaz here, unfortunately, he hasn't had much of an example by his granddaddy and his daddy. And the Bible says here, when he's 20 years old, he begins to reign. He takes the throne at 20 years old, and the Bible says in verse 1 that he reigns for 16 years in Jerusalem. But the Bible also says that he did that which was not right in the sight of the Lord, like David his father. One thing I want you to realize this morning as we go through this message here, we're not going to cover everything in Ahaz's life this morning. We're going to try to cover a few things, but this might take 2 to 3 weeks to go through his life, even though he went opposite of what God was wanting him to do. I believe there's a lot here that we can learn from Ahaz. But I want you to realize in verse number 1 that he is seen in the sight of the Lord. God sees everything that Ahaz is doing, and God reckons to Ahab that he's not doing that which is right, even like David, his father. Well, what was he doing wrong? Why was not God pleased with Ahaz? Look at verse number 2. For he walked in the ways of the kings of Israel, and made also a molten image, and made also molten images for Baalim. So listen, I had that chart up here. I had that thing that I drew a couple weeks back of the temple. And you had the temple, and that was the only true place to worship God. As a nation of Israel, they could not worship the true God in any other place but at that temple. At that temple, they were to bring sacrifices for the sins that they've committed. They were to give them to the priest. The priests were authorized to shed the blood of that sacrifice. That blood was put upon the altar. That sacrifice was put upon the altar. It was burnt before God to make an atonement for their sins. And then those priests would go into the Holy of Holies and the holy place also to make intercession for the nation of Israel and individuals alike. But you see, I find here in 2 Chronicles 28 that Ahaz does just the opposite. He does not walk in the ways of his fathers. He does not walk in the sight of the Lord like he should, but he walks in the ways of the kings of Israel. Take your Bible, look at 2 Chronicles chapter number 18. We go back 10 chapters in the Bible. Rewind, go back 10 chapters to chapter number 18. Ahaz's great-great-great-great-great-grandfather, Jehoshaphat. Look at 2 Chronicles chapter 18, verse number 1. Look what the Bible says here. 2 Chronicles 18, 1. Now Jehoshaphat had riches and honor in abundance. Look what happens. And he joined affinity with Ahab. Hold your hand right here, and I want you to go to Proverbs chapter number 1. Proverbs chapter number 1. Now I'm going to be giving you some, we're going to be going through some Bible this morning, brethren. Important stuff this morning here. But look what happened with Jehoshaphat. I just read it. When you get to Proverbs 1, I'm going to read it again here. Jehoshaphat, he was a good king now. He loved God. He did right. Jehoshaphat did some very good things for God. But the Bible says in verse 8, chapter 18, verse 1, now Jehoshaphat had riches and honor in abundance. Guess what happens? He joins affinity with Ahab. Look at Proverbs chapter 1 and look at verse number 32. Actually, verse 31. Proverbs 1, 31. Proverbs 1, 31. Therefore shall they eat of the fruit of their own way and be filled with their own devices. You got a country today that is filled with devices. Every second of every day, you walk around, you go to the store, I think they go through withdrawals if they can't look at their phone every 5 seconds. Literally. I've preached on it before. I think those phones have got us to be like trained monkeys. Every time it dings, we got to move. I think that phone controls us. We don't control it. Look what the Bible says. Therefore shall they eat the fruit of their own ways and be filled with their own devices. For the turning of the way of the simple shall slay them. And look at this. And the prosperity of fools shall destroy them. Prosperity. Our country has been a very prosperous nation. Actually, our country has been, in my opinion, one of the most prosperous countries that's ever lived. You say, preacher, what about Solomon? Like he had, when Solomon reigned, the stones and the dust were like silver and gold. Yeah, but Solomon didn't have a bathroom next door. Solomon didn't have a car or an airplane that could get him from here and around the world in a matter of 15 hours. Think about that, brethren. Solomon didn't have air conditioning. Solomon didn't have a refrigerator. Solomon didn't have a lot of things that we have today, and we reign as kings, whether we realize it or not. We are a very prosperous nation. Very prosperous nation. You want to realize how good you are, how good we do have it? Sleep out in the woods with Brian for one night. Right? Kelly knows what I'm talking about. All right? So we went out camping this Friday to Saturday. And guess what? Let me tell you, at 2 o'clock in the morning, it was pretty cold out there. And guess what I was thinking? Lord, thank you for the house I have back here in Allentown. God, thank you. I don't have to sleep out in the woods and worry about some animals trying to steal my food. Right? Middle of the night, you're sleeping in a tent and it's cold out. The wind's howling. All of a sudden, you're near your tent. Yeah, you're like flipping open the pocket knife thinking, I hope this is big enough. Right? But brethren, there's a lot to be thankful for. We're a prosperous nation. But when Jehoshaphat became riches and had honor and abundance, guess what he did? He joined affinity with Ahab. Take your Bible and look at 2 Chronicles chapter 20. 2 Chronicles chapter 20 and look at verse number 35. 2 Chronicles chapter 20, verse 35. 2 Chronicles 20, verse 35. And after this, did Jehoshaphat, king of Judah, join himself with Ahaziah, king of Israel, who did very wickedly. So after Ahab's gone, Jehoshaphat still doesn't learn his lesson, and he joins affinity with King Ahaziah, king of Israel, who did very wickedly. Take your Bible, flip over to chapter 21. Same chapter, another chapter, chapter 21. Look at verses 5 and 6. This is Jehoshaphat's son. Jehoram was 32 years old when he began to reign. And he reigned 8 years in Jerusalem. Look what the Bible says in verse 6. And he walked in the ways of the kings of Israel, like as did the house of Ahab. For he had the daughter of Ahab to wife, and he wrought that which was evil in the eyes of the Lord. Brethren, this is exactly what we find in chapter 28. If you flip over there real quick again, you have Ahaziah. And in verse number 2, the Bible shows in 2 Chronicles 28, verse 2, that Ahaziah, he walked in the ways of the kings of Israel. Now, Jehoram, he married Ahab's daughter. And what I'm trying to get at a point here this morning, brethren, the reasons why we're going looking at all the kings of Judah is I wanted to show you how if you don't deal with sin and if you don't walk circumspectly with God, before you know it, you're going to be building up a molten image of Balaam in your own house. And not only in your own house, which is where I think it starts, I think it starts in our houses before it will ever get into this house. Okay? Now, I want you to realize, as a pastor, it's my job to keep molten images of Balaam from coming into this congregation. Okay? That's my job. That's what I've been hired on for. To watch and make sure that the ways of the world and the way the world worship God and the way the world says you should worship God, that it doesn't creep into this building right here and amongst us. Because if we're not circumspect and we don't take heed, before we know it, a molten image of Balaam will creep up into our life and we'll start falling down and worshiping that rather than worshiping the true God. Do you have any images in your home this morning? Do you have any images in your yard? Brethren, I walk through Allentown and Bethlehem and Easton and you go everywhere and you see images. God gives clear commandment in His Word, you are not to set up graven images. It's Bible. But most people won't read their Bible. They won't get in their Bible and they won't find out what the Bible says. Ahaz gets himself in trouble here. He makes a molten image for Balaam. Now, brethren, I pray, again, I said this, I am not going to be able to cover everything with Ahaz this morning. But I want you to realize that Ahaz gets to such a position that the gods that are destroying him, and so he thinks in his mind, he thinks that if he'll just serve those gods will bring him deliverance. We're not going to get to it this morning, but if you come next couple weeks, we'll get to it here. But he sets up a molten image for Balaam. The Bible says in verse number 3, moreover, he burnt incense in the valley of the son of Hinnom and burnt his children in the fire after the abomination of the heathen, whom the Lord had cast out before the children of Israel. Now, I don't have a picture of it here this morning, but around the nation, around Jerusalem, they had walls around Jerusalem. And as you went out the eastern gate, there's an eastern gate with Jerusalem. And let's just say this way is east and this is west. If you came to God and you came to the temple, you came to God and to the temple one way, and that was through that eastern gate. And as you crossed and came in through that eastern gate, if you could look straight through, if everything was open, you could see straight through to the Holy of Holies. Brethren, if you look at a map today, you have the Dome of the Rock, which I believe is right to the left, and the Eastern Gate right now is sealed up. If you look at pictures of the Eastern Gate, it's all sealed up with cement or whatever they got there. That gate has been sealed up for whatever unknown reason, and nobody has been allowed to open it. You know why? Because it's only going to be open when Jesus Christ sets his foot on the Mount of Olives and walks through that Eastern Gate. He's going to open that gate up one day. But if you were to able to look through that eastern gate, you could see right through it. It is lined up perfect with the temple. And if all the doors and the veils were taken away, you could see directly into the Holy of Holies, the Ark of the Covenant and the mercy seat. But if you go out that eastern gate and you go south, you come around south and go about southwest, there's what's called the Valley of the Son of Hinnom. And in that valley, rather than coming and worshiping God at the true temple, Ahaz goes out that gate and he comes into the valley of the Son of Hinnom, and he offers up incense there, which is a picture of prayer, but he's offering up that prayer to false gods. You got a lot of people today, they're praying to things that won't deliver them. They're praying, brethren, I'm telling you, there's a false gospel going out here today. There's a false godliness going out here today. There's ministers of unrighteousness going out here today. And people are tripping over their own feet and worshiping through a false god. Not the God of that Bible. And Jesus Christ of that Bible. They're in worship services. I'll give you an example. That Asbury Revival, that is not of God. It's the wrong kind of music, my friends. Hillsong, just do a little bit of research on Hillsong. They some wicked people. And they got themselves in all kinds of legal mess. All right? You don't have to look very far to realize this is not of God. Okay? So what happens here is Ahaz comes out, and rather than worshiping the true God the right way, by God's dictate, by God's commandments, Ahaz goes what's right in his own mind. Why? Because he's been linking up with the nation of Israel. The wicked kings of Israel, and he's joined affinity with them, and he's learning their ways. And he comes, and brethren, not only does he offer up false prayers, he takes his kids. He takes his kids, his babies. He takes them and he offers them to the gods of Moloch and Ashtaroth. And he burnt, brethren, this is not an allegory. He burnt his own children to false gods. You say, how could anybody ever do that? How could anybody ever go and have an abortion? Now, I know there's a lot of young ladies out there today that they get deceived in their mind, so I'm not gonna blame every young lady. But brethren, those doctors are wicked. And they take advantage of those young girls, they bring them into that little operating room, and they spill out the blood of the innocent. And brethren, I'm telling you this morning, if you don't think Jesus Christ has come back soon, that's fine. But I'm telling you, brethren, there is a reckoning day with all the blood that has been shed since the 50s and 60s. Millions upon millions upon millions upon millions of innocent babies ripped out of their mother's womb for what cause? For my liberty? It's my body? It's my choice? No, my friend, that is a living being inside of you. You want to know how wicked it is? Go look up some pictures of a midterm or late term abortion, and don't tell me it's not wicked. Amen. Baby's still alive and you're tossing them on a trash can. How wicked can you be? How sick can you be? A baby over there in a trash can, still alive, and you'll walk on like nothing's happened. That's how dark and depraved your heart can get when you reject God and truth. God help those little babies. Ahaz, who knows God. We're not talking about someone out there in the world. We're talking about a king that is supposed to lead his people because he has the true God right in front of him, and yet he's choosing to worship a false god that can bring him no deliverance. And the Bible says in verse number 3, he burnt his children in the fire after the abominations of the heathen whom the Lord had cast out before the children of Israel. Now I want to say this. If there's a young lady out there today, I don't know who's listening on their live stream, and there might even be somebody in this room, and I don't know this, but I'm here to tell you that if you have ever had an abortion, Jesus Christ can help you with what's going on in your mind. There's been many a young lady, young girl, brethren, I've dealt with some of them. They did have an abortion. Guess what? As soon as they had it later on, they were tormented in their minds, and almost some of them for the rest of their life because of what they had done. You see, the devil will never tell you how bad sin is until you're halfway in it and he says, "Ha, you can't get out now. Look how bad you are. Look how wicked you are. Look, if you were a good mom, you would have never done that." That's the voice of the devil. I'm here to say, if anybody's listening or even if somebody in this room, if you've had an abortion, Jesus Christ can make you whole. He can cleanse you. He can forgive you for it. And he can heal the wounds of your heart and your mind. There's none like Jesus Christ and what he can do. But brethren, it's our job as Christians to abstain from all appearances of evil. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 19 says this, "Nevertheless, the foundation of God standeth sure, having this seal, the Lord knoweth them that are his, and let everyone that nameth the name of Christ depart from iniquity." Why should one abstain and depart from those who have no desire to serve and worship God in truth? Because given enough time, they will begin to draw you away to their sins and wickedness and away from your God. You know why Ahaz should have never went to the kings of Israel. Ahab should have never talked to the kings of Israel. Ahab should have never stepped foot with the kings of Israel. Because all it did was bring ruination and destruction to his life. Brethren, the Bible says, look over at 1 John chapter 2 for me for a moment here. 1 John chapter 2. Look at 1 John right before Book of Revelation, Jude, Revelation, 3 John, 2 John, 1 John. Look at 1 John chapter 2. I want you to look at verse number 15. 1 John 2, verse number 15. 1 John 2, verse 15. Look what the Bible says. "Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world." What is that? What is that? The Bible says, "Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh and the lust of the eyes and the pride of life is not of the Father, but is of the world. And the world passeth away and the lust thereof, but he that doeth the will of God abideth forever." He that doeth the will of God abideth forever. Brethren, the Bible says there to love not the world, neither the things that are in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. Listen, this is what this world is going to try to tell you that's what you need. Whatever your flesh lusts after, just get it and you'll be satisfied. Whatever your eyes see and you lust after with what you see with your eyes, the devil says if you'll get it, you'll just be happy. Or if you just have the pride of life, if you just get the power you desire, you'll be happy. I'm here to tell you, my friend, that if you fulfill the lust of the flesh and of the eyes and the pride of life, you will never be happy. You know why? Because they never can be satisfied. Take your Bible, look at Proverbs 27, and look at verse number 20. You give me a drug addict that gets satisfied with their drugs. Doesn't happen. Does not happen. Actually, any drug addict, if they're honest and if they recovered from their drug addiction, they'll tell you that so often it got worse and they had to get harder drugs to keep them satisfied. That's a fact. Some kid starts smoking some weed and thinks, I can just stop there. Before you know it, you're taking this pill. Before you know it, you're taking heroin. Before you know it, you're shooting heroin. Before you know it, you're going to fentanyl. You evolve, it just, you need more. It consumes you. You see, sin will never be satisfied till it has you in death's grips. Look at Proverbs 27 and look at verse number 20. Proverbs 27, look at verse number 20. Hell and destruction are never full, so the eyes of man are never satisfied. Young men and men in this room here, you know where this verse comes? Pornography. A multi-billion dollar industry. Why? Because the devil knows that the eyes of man are never satisfied. And if you're caught up in pornography, if you're looking at things you ought not to be looking at on your phone, on your computer, in your room, you need to get rid of it, you need to trash it, and you need to repent of that sin and turn to God and get deliverance. And I don't want to hear this nonsense that you can't get over it, my friend. Yes, you can get over it. What are these eyes looking at? You're never going to be satisfied. Never going to be satisfied. I don't care how many women you look at, you'll never be satisfied. And guess what? When you're not satisfied with women, guess what's going to happen, my brethren? I'm telling you, men, they are not satisfied with women. And just like a drug addict, then he's got to start looking at kids. I know what I'm talking about. And when he's not looking at kids, then he's going to start looking at animals. Brethren, I dealt with kids that have slept with animals. I know what I'm preaching. But most of society doesn't see it. Because we do a good job with our institutes to keep it hidden. When you sit across from a table and you're trying to talk to a kid, and he's tore up in his mind because of some of the things he did and some of the things that were done to him, you see how bad sin is. You cannot mess around with pornography and it not mess with you. Most of your serial killers, guess how it started? Pornography. Most of your guys that commit murder, how'd it get that bad? How'd it get so dark? How'd it get so wicked? How could they kill somebody the way they killed them? And most often it started with pornography. If you're looking at pornography today, you need to repent of that thing quickly. If you're looking at pornography and you took the Lord's Supper, you didn't get that thing right with God, I'm scared for you. Come on. Brother, I don't know why I'm touching it because I ain't got none of that in my notes. But brethren, I know the addiction that that can bring in someone's life. And the devil knows the addiction that it can bring in a young man's life, and it gets its claws so deep in there that, listen, you go ahead and try to pull this thumb off and you get that off, and as soon as you try to reach for that thumb, that thumb goes right bound again. Man, it's got young men and men and men, it's all over, it's got them bound. It's an addiction. It's a sin. And your eyes will never be satisfied. Take your Bible, look at 2 Kings chapter 16. 2 Kings chapter 16. 2 Kings chapter 16. I want you to look at verse number 1. 2 Kings chapter 16, verse 1. How much has pornography ruined marriages? Pornography ruining marriages. Husbands leaving their wives for another woman. Wives leaving their husband for another man. The ruination and the destruction that it has brought to our nation. The heartache that it's brought to our nation. What it's done to our young people and our young kids and our babies. Brethren, the filth that has covered our nation by the very sin of pornography, and we expect Donald Trump to deliver our nation. We think Donald Trump's the answer. If we could just get him in office, we'll be fine. No, my friend, if he fixed the economy, we will not be fine because we're addicted to pornography in this nation. And that's just one of our sins. You ain't gonna hear no preachers talking about that. Yeah. Brethren, we cannot sin and expect everything to just keep on going fine. You know where some of Israel's problems started? Solomon. You know what Solomon did? He married a wife from Egypt. And you know what that wife from Egypt brought into the equation? Her false gods. And as she brought those false gods in there, Solomon wasn't just satisfied with her. The Bible says that Solomon had over 1,000 wives and concubines. If anybody could have been fulfilled by the desire of a sexual desire, it would have been Solomon. He could have had a different woman every night for 3.5 years and never had the same woman. And guess what he said? Vanity of vanities, all is vanity. Your eyes will fool you, my friend. Your eyes and your flesh and your lust. And the devil will say, if you just get this, or if you just get that, or if you just get here, or if you can just go there, you'll be happy. No, my friend, you'll never be happy, and you'll never be satisfied outside of Jesus Christ. 2 Kings chapter 16, verse number 1. 2 Kings chapter 16, verse number 1. This is King Ahaz, but this is the view from 2 Kings. In the 17th year of Pekah, the son of Remaliah, Ahaz, the son of Jotham, king of Judah, began to reign. Look what the Bible says in verse 2. 22 years old was Ahaz when he began to reign. He reigned 16 years in Jerusalem. He did not that which was right in the sight of the Lord his God, like David his father. Look at verse 3. But he walked in the way of the kings of Israel, yea, and made his sons to pass through the fire according to the abomination of the heathen, whom the Lord had cast out from before the children of Israel. And he sacrificed and burned incense in the high places, on the hills and on every green tree. He offers his kids as a sacrifice. Now I want to show you something about these sacrifices. Look at Jeremiah chapter number 7. Jeremiah chapter 7. Jeremiah chapter 7, and I want you to look at verse number 29. Jeremiah 7, 29. Look what the Bible says here. Jeremiah chapter 7, verse number 29. Jeremiah chapter 7, verse number 29. Cut off thine hair, O Jerusalem, and cast it away, and take up a lamentation on high, for the Lord hath rejected and forsaken the generation of his wrath. For the children of Judah have done evil in my sight, saith the Lord. They have set their abominations in the house which is called by my name to pollute it. Look at verse 31. And they have built the high places of Tophet, which is in the valley of the son of Hinnom, to burn their sons and their daughters in the fire, which I commanded them not, neither came it into my heart. We find here the high places of Tophet. You see that there in verse 31. That place, Tophet, as I said, if you left that eastern gate and you went down south toward the southwest, there was a place called Tophet there in the valley of the son of Hinnom. And it was there at Tophet, which was, according to everything I could read and study on it, it was a very beautiful place. It was almost like a garden place. And there in Tophet is where they would burn their children and offer their sons and their daughters in a fire up to false pagan gods. The word Tophet means this. It means, and there's some differences on this, on exactly what this word means, but it means to drum, or toff, or taff, which is the root of the word. It means to burn. It also means tabret. So we find a tabret grove, or a music grove. Okay? They built the high places of Tophet in the valley of the son of Hinnom. And it is there at Tophet where they would offer sacrifices of their children unto gods. And the word Tophet has a meaning of like to drum. Right? It also can mean a tabret grove or a music grove. Take your Bible, look at Ezekiel chapter 28. Ezekiel chapter 28. I'm getting somewhere here this morning. Look at verse 13. Now, what I'm getting ready to read here in verse 13 is a picture of the devil. Okay, this is the devil. This is Satan. This is Lucifer. Ezekiel 28, verse 13. This is no longer the king of Tyrus, because the king of Tyrus had never been in the Garden of Eden. This is the devil. This is Satan. Verse 13 of chapter 28 in Ezekiel, but please pay attention here. Thou hast been in Eden, the garden of God. Every precious stone was thy covering, the sardis, topaz, and the diamond, the beryl, the onyx, and the jasper, the sapphire, the emerald, and the carbuncle, and gold. The workmanship of thy, look what the Bible says, tabrets, that's a drum, that's a small drum, and of thy pipes was prepared in thee in the day thou wast created. Look at verse 14. Thou art the anointed cherub that covereth. The devil is not an angel. Now, this is not a study for this morning, but a lot of said the devil, he can transform himself like an angel of light, but he is not an angel. He is the anointed cherub that covereth. It says, thou art the anointed cherub that covereth, and I have set thee so. That was upon the holy mountain of God. Thou hast walked up and down in the midst of the stones of fire. But what I want you to realize in verse 13 is God created this cherub, which was Satan, and he was the most beautiful creature that God ever made. He was the glorious to look at. His beauty, he was covered with every beautiful stone. There was none like him, like God created. And God created him to be the anointed cherub. Satan had the job of covering the throne of God. So if God were to look up, God would see the beauty that he created in Satan. He would see the stones that God set in him. He had the tabrets. He had the pipes. He could sing and glorify God, his creator, with music and with beauty. This is what God created until iniquity was found in him. And he rebelled against God. Now, brethren, this is something we can learn from here. One of the reasons this church does not have a drum set, because I don't think it's good for churches. Amen. Why? Because the devil has done a masterful job of perverting music. You see, just like he perverts sexuality with pornography, he's done a masterful job, I think, even more so with music. Because music moves people. Music will move emotions. And sometimes people will falsely associate emotions with the moving of the Spirit of God, which is not always the case. Just because your song leader, I'm not talking about, I'm just saying, just because your song leader or your choir leader or those that are leading the music, all of a sudden if they get stirred up, does not necessarily mean God's in it. Yeah. Brethren, I've known piano players that can move people's emotions. They get playing a little boogie woogie and all of a sudden your foot's tapping. And it's not because you're glorifying God, your flesh likes it. Or you get making a sonata and you start playing it the right way, a romantic song, and all of a sudden you start getting emotional and romantic because you can move these keys, and as you move these keys, you can sway and move the emotions of your audience. That's why this thing is so dangerous, yet so special. The devil knows the power of music. Brethren, as long as I'm your pastor here, I'm going to err to the other side. By God's grace, no contemporary Christian music coming up on here. I'm sorry. There are over 700, 800 songs underneath your chair. If you can't figure out one of those songs to worship God with, then I don't know how to help you. Sometimes people worship music rather than worshiping God. And brethren, again, I grew up with it. My parents were in a little band that they made. They would go around singing places. My uncle was in a band. Listen, my grandfather, this is Christian stuff now. And they would go around, they'd play in churches, and they'd move the church services. I grew up Pentecostal, okay? I was moved by those emotions. I'd feel bad for my sins, but guess what? I never did nothing about it. I went right back. As soon as my emotions were done, I got feeling bad because of my sins, and I asked God, and I go right back out those doors, do the same thing again. Brethren, I grew up with contemporary Christian music. I had over $2,000 to $3,000 worth of it. I listened to all kinds of contemporary Christian music. Sandy Patty, Ray Bolts. Anybody hear of Ray Bolts? Guess what he is now? A sodomite. You like Bill Gaither? He's hanging out with Marcia Stevens. She's a sodomite. Now he's backtracked a little bit on it, but he's got his picture there with Mark Lowry, and they got their arms around each other, smiling away. I won't give you a dime for Bill Gaither. He's ecumenical. Look, this church right here has got in its bylaws, it's not going ecumenical, but yet we got no problem with listening to Bill Gaither. No, there ought to be a problem with listening to Bill Gaither. I won't give you a dime for him, brethren. I won't give you a dime for him. I despise that man. He's done more, brought more damage to the cause of Christ as far as the music industry goes than I know of anybody else. He's Pentecostal. Brethren, in the 1990s, I believe it was, listen, he joined up with Catholics, and right before he performed, they performed a Catholic Mass before he did his service, before he did his music service. Would you allow a Catholic Mass in here?
No.
If Bill Gaither's where he should be with God, why is he allowing that to occur at his concerts? But I like his music. You're going down a dangerous road. Where does it stop? Brethren, I'm tired of just fluff.
Amen.
I'm tired of fluff. I'm tired of it. I'm tired of just fluff, no substance. Just make me feel good about myself. Everything's all right in my life. I'm going to heaven. Everything's good. Nothing bad's going to happen to me. No, my friend, that's not the way of a Christian. Brethren, one of your members of your band's got long hair. You're not reading your Bible. The Bible says it's a shame for a man to have long hair. Preacher, you're just too critical. No, I'm not too critical. I know where these things lead, my friends. It leads to groups like Skillet. A band that claims to be Christian. And you can sometimes not even understand their lyrics because the guitars and the drums are rocking out so loud. You got hip-hop in the Christian realm right now, and there's a man out there, and I've learned about him, named NF. And he and his rap songs talks about mental illness. But if you watch his stuff and you look at his stuff, he never shows the bright side of it. Most of his videos are all dark, and he shows like there's no deliverance from this mental illness going on in his head. I'm here to tell you it's a false gospel, because there is help in Jesus Christ.
Yes.
You take another popular group, some of you might not know it, DC Talk. Toby Mac, his son, just took his own life because of what was going on in his head. Brother, I used to listen to all of it. A lot of it, my wife and I. You know who some of DC Talk's favorite artists were when they got interviewed? Marilyn Manson was one of their favorite artists. Hey, and guess what? They're playing in your church tonight. I'm telling you, brethren, the devil knows what he's doing with music. By God's grace, unless I go wacky in my head, it's not coming in this church. And if I start going wacky in my head and it starts coming in this church, some of you men that are still strong and do it, you cast me out of this church as quick as I came in here. You stick with the book. Music's powerful, and the devil knows it. You know why it was called the Valley of Tophet? Because they would get the music and the drums getting so loud so that it would drown out the cries of the children as they offered them upon the fire as they sacrificed them. So when they get the drums playing so loud, they get the music so loud, so that when the mama who's crying, who didn't want to do it, they're saying, no, you got to worship this false god. Put the baby on there. I can't put the baby on there. And the music's playing so loud. Put the baby on there. And she throws the baby on there. And the music's so loud, she can't hear the cries. And you know what they do at abortion clinics? They'll go out there and they'll play music super loud, because if crowds come up and say, don't go do it, they'll try to drown out the crowds of those that are trying to keep them from going into the abortion clinic so that they don't hear those voices.
Truth.
That's a fact. Yeah. Brethren, there's a documentary out there, and I think I'm saying it right, I lived on Parker Street. If you haven't watched it, watch it. And it's a young man that his mama, she was getting ready because she was living in fornication. She got pregnant out of wedlock. She tried to do right. She knew some things that were right. And her and her boyfriend finally decided, we can't have this child. We can't afford to have this child. He wanted to get an abortion. She thought about it, but she said, I can't do it. One day she decided to do it. She didn't tell anybody. Nobody knew. As she was walking in that abortion clinic, there was one lady, right as she was walking in, saying, your baby's got 10 fingers, 10 toes. And those abortion clinic people came out, covered her head, and started whispering in her ear. They had a little tape box in there with music blaring so that she couldn't hear the people trying to plead with her not to sacrifice her child. And she said, as she went in that abortion clinic and she went into that room, she sat down there and that doctor come in, God dealt with her and says, you got a baby. Those words came in her mind. Your baby's got 10 fingers and 10 toes. And just right when the doctors get ready to perform procedure, she said, I can't do it. You know what he did? She says, he just took off his gloves, threw them in a trash can and walked out the door. And she said, all of a sudden, all the people that were there to support her in that clinic, all of a sudden, not one person there said a word to her and just pointed at the back door. My friend, if God's dealing with you this morning, don't let something drown out his voice. If God in his still voice, small voice is saying, you need to be saved. You need to call out to Christ to be saved. Don't drown it out. If God this morning is whispering in your ear and you're saved and God's saying, get this right. You need to get this right. Get your life back with me. Don't drown it out. You might just regret it. This valley of Hinnom is a type of hell in the Bible. Look at Isaiah chapter 66. Isaiah chapter 66. Look at verse 23. Isaiah 66, 23. This is during the millennial reign of Jesus Christ, when the Lord is reigning for 1,000 years and Satan is bound for that 1,000 years. It says here in Isaiah 66, verse 23, and it shall come to pass that from one new moon to another, and from one Sabbath to another, shall all flesh come to worship before me, saith the Lord. And they shall go forth and look upon the carcasses of the men that have transgressed against me, for their worm shall not die, neither shall their fire be quenched, and they shall be an abhorring unto all flesh. Brethren, this valley of the son of Hinnom and Tophet is a picture of hell. It's also called a valley of slaughter in Jeremiah 19. Brethren, I close out here this morning. This world cares nothing for you. The actors and the actresses that you love on the movie screen or on your television set, they don't care nothing about you. Your favorite music artist that you've loved since the time you've been 12 years old, they care nothing about you. The one that cares everything about you is Jesus Christ. The Bible says he'll never leave you nor forsake you. You come to Christ Jesus and he'll give you a peace that passeth all understanding. He is the great comforter. And whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Brethren, will you not love Jesus Christ with all your soul, mind, and strength? Will you not turn from the ways of this world and turn to Jesus Christ in truth and love him? Let's pray. Lord, I thank you for this day, dear God. Lord, I thank you for your mercy, your grace, and your love. Lord, I thank you. Lord, some of these stories in the Bible, dear God, are pretty difficult to read, Lord. Lord, ain't nobody in their right mind wants to read about babies being sacrificed. Lord, it's not a very uplifting message, dear God. But Lord, these things occurred thousands of years ago with your people that rejected you. So, dear God, I pray this morning, dear God, that all of us that are saved would have a sensitivity to the Holy Spirit. Lord, that we wouldn't allow no molten images to creep up in our life. Lord, that we wouldn't let things that would creep up in our life that would bring wickedness and sin. But Lord, that we'd walk circumspectly, dear God. Lord, that we would do those things that are pleasing in your eyesight. And Father, I pray this morning, Lord, if there's someone here that's not saved, God, they don't know the peace, the comfort, the satisfaction that comes from knowing you in truth. Lord, we're not talking about a religion this morning, Lord. We're talking about a relationship through the Son of God. So, Lord, I pray, dear God, you'd work upon hearts, work upon souls. Lord, help us that are saved, dear God, to go forward in the light of your word, that we would be a testimony, that we be an ambassador, that we would represent you correctly to this world, God. So, Lord, help us. Help this church. Lord, help those that are struggling. Lord, those that are burdened down, Lord, please strengthen, help them, and comfort them. Lord, we'll give you the glory and the honor and praise. We ask it in the blessed name of Jesus Christ. Amen.